But here today, I want to share with you a story that's found in 1 Samuel chapter 1. This is a powerful story of a young lady who had some problems. Well, you listen. And of course, the introduction is with one of my dear friends. So Rosie's going to come, and she's going to help me share this story. I think I have a stand over here. Here it is, right here. And Rosie's going to come out, and she's going to sit right here. Here we go, just like that. And I have her box over here. And of course, when you go to someone's house, you always have to knock on the door. It's not a very good idea to run into someone's house without knocking on the door, especially here in Wyoming. You come running through a door, you might be met on the other side with a shotgun. So very good idea to knock on the door. So I'm going to knock on the door of Rosie's house, and we'll see what she has to say. Let's see here. Rosie. Did you hear anything?
No.
Neither did I. Let's try that again. Rosie.
Oh, my.
Again? What did she say?
Go away.
Go away? Oh, not again. Rosie, go away. Don't do that. Go away. Rosie, there's people out here that want to see you. Go away. No, Rosie, we can't do that. I got to come in. No, go away. Oh, but Rosie, then I'm sad. I've been crying. My makeup's all messed up. And my hair. Oh, my hair's a mess. No. Oh, no. Put me back. Put me back. No. My hair's a mess. Oh, hello. Put me back. Put me back. But Rosie, well, these people want to meet you.
Then I'm so sad. I've been crying.
Well, why have you been crying?
Oh, our puppy died. It's been so sad. Oh, my puppy died. I want another puppy.
Oh, Rosie, but I don't think we can get a puppy.
How about a cat?
No, we can't get a cat either.
But I want a pet.
I know.
And I'm sad. I've been crying. And
I know. It's been sad since Pepper died, and it's been very hard.
It sure has. I want a puppy.
Well, I want to share with you a story tonight.
Yeah.
In fact, this is a story of a young lady. Her name was Hannah. And she was very, very sad, too. And she wanted something in the worst way.
A puppy.
Oh, no, no. She didn't want a puppy. The Bible shares with us that she wanted to have a baby.
Yeah, not a puppy.
No, not a puppy.
Cat.
No, not a cat. She wanted a baby. And the reason was, is that her husband, Elkanah, was so faithful to her and loved her so much. And in the worst way, she wanted to have a baby. But and there was conflict within the family, and she was being ridiculed and made fun of.
That's sad.
It certainly is.
Like me, I've been crying.
Yep, and she was crying too. Well, they went to the temple, and the Bible shares with us that while they're there, they had a huge feast. Lots and lots of food. But Hannah was so sad that she did not eat at all. And she got up, and she went into the temple. And the Bible shares with us that she began to pray.
Pray?
Yeah. If there's something you need and something that you're sorrowful and you're seeking God's will and His direction, all you have to do is pray. And the Bible shares with us that Hannah went into the temple. She bowed her head and she closed her eyes and her lips began to move. And as they were moving, the priest, Eli, said, "Oh, she must be drunk." And so she came up to Hannah and said, "Hannah, I'm praying." I know. But in any case, the Bible shares with us that Eli said, "Why are you in here and you're so drunk?" But Hannah says, "Oh, no, I'm not drunk. My heart is so sad and it's so broken." And Eli realized, "Oh, she's seeking God's direction and God's will." And he said, "Whatever your prayer is, may God answer your prayer." And Hannah rejoiced and went home, and the most wonderful thing happened. She had a baby boy.
What's his name?
Oh, Rosie, his name was Samuel. And you know, all that she did was bow her head, close her eyes, and her lips were moving, and she was praying to the Lord and asking God to answer her prayer. Rosie? Rosie, what are you praying for?
A cat.
Oh, no. In any case, God answered Hannah's prayer. And you know, Samuel was a young man who quickly became the voice of God. He became the prophet, and God blessed him in many, many ways.
All because Hannah prayed.
That right, Rosie? All because Hannah prayed.
Can I have a cat?
No, Rosie, you cannot have a cat.
How come?
Well, because you see, if you have a dog,
yeah,
you have a pet.
Uh-huh.
But if you have a cat,
yeah,
you have a landlord.
Oh, you're teasing me. Oh, we'll see you guys later. Oh, no. Oh, I'm going to pray for a cat.
No, you can't have a cat. Maybe another dog.
Okay. Well, we'll see you later. Hannah's prayer was answered, and God does answer prayer, doesn't he?
He sure does, Rosie.
Oh, we'll see you guys later. I got to think of the woman I'm going to pray for. Oh, boy, we'll see you guys later. Don't mess up my hair and my dress. I destroy you that.
That's Rosie. What a prayer warrior. There you go. Hannah. We first of all want to look at the perils from without. You know, Hannah, in the worst way, wanted to have a baby boy. And it shares with us here in 1 Samuel and chapter 1. It shares with us here in verse 1. It says, now there was a certain man of the Ramathim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, and Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peniah. That's a name that's tough to say. And Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. So Hannah was ridiculing and making fun of Hannah because she didn't have a baby. The perils from without. She was struggling. She was being made fun of. She was being laughed at. And she really believed that God was going to answer her prayer. And the Bible shares with us here in verse 5, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. It says here, as they went to the temple, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret because of the Lord had shut up her womb. So she was being dealt harshly. They're making fun of her. You know, sometimes people make fun of us too, huh? And sometimes our feelings are hurt and difficult. But who did Hannah go to? She went to the Lord, didn't she? And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She was seeking God's direction. She wanted God to answer her prayer. And you know something? God does answer our prayer. He does. And you know, the Word of God shares with us, you know, Hannah didn't have the whole Word of God that she could go to and read. She had to go to the Lord there in the temple, it shares with us. And she sought God's direction and went to the priest. But you know, today we can go to the Word of God and we can read God's Word. Some people say, well, I want to hear from God. I want to see what God has to say. And some people think, well, I want to hear him audibly. But you know, we have the whole Word of God. And if you want to hear God audibly, all you have to do is read God's Word out loud and you will hear it. You'll hear it. Because God's Word is the inspired Word of God. And you know, we need to read the Word of God. We need to read it. And we can seek God's direction. and seek God's will within our life right here in the inspired Word of God. Well, I have up here an illustration I want to share with you today. I have up here, first of all, a prediction. We're going to find out, let's see here. I need to pick a couple people here who I'm going to pick a young lady here, first of all. Let's see here. Which one of you did I pick yesterday? Mm-hmm. Picked you? Okay, let's pick the other one, okay? Mm-hmm. Can you come up here and help me? Mm-hmm. You come on up here. And what I want to do is, can you stand right here, right there in front of Randy's box, and hold on to this for me? Don't look. No peeking, okay? And it says a prediction, okay? And we're going to find out what color your Bible is. What color is your Bible? See here. This young man here, Ray, would you be willing to help me? Can you come up here? No? Nope, he's not going to help me. Okay, let's see here. Who? Will you be willing to help me then? You come on up here. Now, don't tell me. We're going to find out what color your Bible is, okay? Here you go. You go ahead and stand over there. Prediction, you don't look now. Don't look. And we're going to look at these Bibles here. I have all kinds of different colors of Bibles. I have a yellow one, and I have a purple one, and I have a red one, and there's an orange one, and a blue one, and we also have a green one, and a black one, and we're going to find out what color our Bible is, okay? Now, we're going to mix these all up, and you tell me when I'm done mixing them, okay? We're going to mix them up. Here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. There we go. And we're going to just mix these all up here. Should we do it again? Let's do that again. Here's 1. Here's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And we'll just mix them all up. Is that good enough? You think that's good enough? So what we're going to do here, you know, the Bible shares with us all Scripture is inspired. It also says that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. We can trust His Word. We can read His Word and seek God's direction in our lives. And so we're going to find out what color your Bible is today, okay? So we're going to spell the word Bible, and whatever it falls on, that's the color of your Bible, okay? Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Well, what I was supposed to do is spell Bible. Just a second here. B-I-B-L-E. There we go. Here's the color of your Bible, okay? Can you take a look at that? Is that what color your Bible is? No? Hey, turn around. Turn around. Let everybody see. The color of his Bible is red. But that's not the color of your Bible? Are you sure? Yeah? You know, we need to read our Bibles. Are you sure it's not red? It's not red? Don't you think we should read our Bible? Your Bible's not red? It doesn't matter what color our Bible is, what matters is that we have read it, right? Yeah. That it's red. And you know, you might think, now wait a second, that's a trick, because no matter what color it is, you got something to say. Like if our Bible is black, well then since it's black, it will remind us of the fact that we're sinners and we need to trust Christ as our Savior. Or maybe a orange. You know, some people are filled with envy or rage, and we need to seek God's direction in our lives. Or how about this yellow one? One that's full of pride and afraid, scared, kind of yellow. Or blue, which refers to royalty, that Jesus Christ is royal. Or maybe purple and green to grow. But in any case, he picked the red one. Now let's see, what does the prediction say? Can you pull that prediction out of there? What does that prediction say? The prediction says you will select the red Bible. There you go. Look at that. You will select the red Bible. May we all have read our Bibles. Important to read the Word of God. If you want to know God's direction in your lives, you need to go to the Lord. Seek His direction. Where do we find that? We find it in the Word of God. Because our Bibles should be read. We need to read the Word of God, right? And study it. Hannah was a young lady who went to the Lord. She saw His direction. Back then, they didn't have the whole Bible. She just had the first 5 books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But she didn't have all of it. Today, we have it all. We We have it all. And we can seek God's direction in our lives through the Word of God. Thank you so much. You did a good job. Can you give them all a good hand? There you go. Thank you so much. There we go. All right. Yeah. So it doesn't matter which color your Bible is. It could be blue. It could be black. It could be yellow. It could be orange. It doesn't matter. As long as it is red. Right? We need to read the Word of God faithfully each and every day. The perils from without. But we also want to look at the plea from within. She was being tormented. The Bible shares with us that she was in bitterness of soul. Look at verse 10 of 1 Samuel chapter 1. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She prayed earnestly. You know, there's some people in the world today that think, well, you know, aren't I good enough? Aren't I just good enough? You know, I really don't need God. I don't need to seek his direction. In fact, there are people in the world today that say, well, I can live my life however I please. It really doesn't matter. Besides, other people are greater sinners than I am. You know, think of people who are in state prison right now. They're in jail because they have murdered, or they have robbed, or they have done some wicked thing. And we think, wow, God's going to judge them one day because they are sinners. They are wicked, and God's going to judge them one day. Then there's other people too. You know, they might cheat and steal and pinch and scratch and do all kinds of mean things. You know, they're not as bad as these people are, but they are wicked. And God's going to judge them one day. But then there's me. You know, me, I've hardly sinned at all. You know, I'm too young to be a sinner. I'm too cute to be a sinner. In fact, you know, I've hardly sinned at all. I'm really a good person, you know. And sometimes that's how people look at themselves. They think, I don't need God. I don't need his direction in my life. I can do this myself. And we got all these three ropes here. And as you can tell, all three of these ropes are different lengths, right? Sure they are. I've got this itty bitty dinky rope here. And I've got this medium sized rope here. And then I've got this great big long one. And all three of these ropes are all three different lengths, right? Sure they are. I've got this itty-bitty dinky rope. And I've got this medium-sized rope. And I've got this great big long one. And you know, if we were to look at these three ropes the way God looks at sin, you know what we would find out? We would find out that these three ropes are all three the same length. Do you know why? Because that's how God looks at sin. We might think, but I've only sinned just that. No, in God's eyes, we're all sinners. We're all sinners. And because of our sin, the Bible says, we're going to spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell. Because God hates sin. You know, I have three ropes here. And all three of these ropes are all three the same length. Because that's just how God looks at sin. Sin is a terrible thing. And God hates sin. Now, let me share with you, all three of these ropes are the very same length. By the way, how many of you can count to three? Can everybody here count to three? Can we all count to three? Let's practice, okay? Here we go. One, two, three. Let's count these ropes. Are you ready? Here we go. Watch real close. One, two, three. And all three ropes are the same length because that's just how God looks at sin. We're all born in sin. And you know, sometimes we might think, but I'm not as bad as someone else. But in God's word, we're all sinners. We're all born in sin. You might look at your sin and say, but I just got itty-bitty-dinky sin. Or maybe my sin is just medium or others that are doing great big long sin. But in any case, all three are the same length because that's how God looks at sin. We're all born in sin. And because of our sin, the Bible says we're going to spend eternity in hell. Because God hates sin. The question is, what have we done with Jesus? Hannah sought God's direction. She knew that God hated sin. And her desire was to be used of God in such a way, a blessing, that she was seeking God's direction in her life, asking God to bless her and to use her for the glory of God. Sin is an awful thing. Separates us from God for all eternity because God hates sin and will not allow sin into his presence. So not only do we want to look at, first of all, point number one, and that is the peril from without. Point number two, the plea from within. She was praying to the Lord. She knew to repent of her sin, to trust in the true and living God, seeking his direction in her life, looking and asking God to answer her prayer. And her prayer was that she would have a child that she can give to the Lord, that she could raise in such a way that he'll realize that there's a God in heaven and that he too had to trust in the Lord and seek his direction. And to seek God's will in his life and seek the Lord in all the decisions that he made. So not only the peril from without, the plea from within, but last of all, the prize from above. It says here in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 20, it says this, "Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord." God answered her prayer. And you know, Samuel, after he was grown, after he was able to take care of himself, she took him to Eli, the priest, and presented him as a servant that he can use. And do you remember the story of Samuel? When Samuel was in his bedroom, and he was getting ready to fall asleep, he heard a voice calling on to him, "Samuel, Samuel," remember that? It happened three times. And he ran to Eli, saying, "Eli, you called me." But Eli says, nope, it wasn't me. And he quickly realized on the third time, actually the second time, he said, "If you hear the voice again, say, Lord, your servant heareth." And that's what he did. And God spoke to him. In fact, the words he spoke weren't so good. He was talking about the death of Eli's sons. And everybody was afraid that if Samuel got word from the Lord, it probably was something bad. Because the first thing that he heard wasn't so good. Eli's children died all because they did not choose to serve the Lord. But Samuel was a man that God used in a mighty way. And you know, God can use each and every one of us as well. That God will answer our prayer. Let me share with you an illustration. I have up here, first of all, a silk. This is a red silk that represents the blood of Christ. And then I also have up here a couple of ropes. Here they are, a couple of ropes. If you know me long enough, you know that I like ropes. And these two ropes are solid. They're not going anywhere. They're solid ropes. And I'm going to take these two ropes here, find the center of these two ropes just like this. And I'm going to tie some silks to these two ropes. Now, these silks, like those silks the other day, all represent sin. Okay, represent sin. And so what we're going to do is we're going to label these silks a specific sin, okay? And again, I want to have a specific sin, like sin that we see in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal, kill, murder. So adultery. Yeah. So should we call this one adultery right away? All right, we'll call this one adultery. And we're going to tie this one on these two ropes just like this. If I can do this with just two hands, this is kind of hard. You kind of have to have three or four hands to do this. There we go. Now, maybe what I should do is get some helpers. How about these two boys right on the end? Could you both come up here? Who did I have come up here for the Bible? Okay, let's pick you and the orange. Okay, why don't you two come up here? There we go. We'll split them up so y'all can get a chance. So you hold on to that end. We don't want a tug of war or anything like that, okay? So kind of let them droop down. Go ahead and grab right here. Step this way. Can you come one step this way? There you go. Kind of let it droop. Perfect. So this one here is what again?
Adultery.
Adultery, okay? So then I have another one. Here's an orange one. Here we go. Can someone think of what a sin that we can label this one?
Lying.
Yes, lying is a sin. Yep, to tell a mishap or a falsehood or even a little white lie, it's all a sin, isn't it? How about this one?
Murder.
Murder, yes, murder. And you know abortion is murder, isn't it? So we're going to tie him right here, just like that. So we got murder, adultery, lying. We got two more. How about this one? Anybody else think of another sin?
Coveting thy neighbor.
Coveting? Okay. Yes. Coveting something your neighbor has, like a bike, or maybe a car, or maybe a speedboat, or a bass boat. Here we go.
Another
yep.
one.
Okay, and how about this one?
Taking the Lord's name in vain.
Yes. That is a sin too, taking the Lord's name in vain. Yes. The Bible says, for all have sinned. There is none righteous, no, not one. We're all born in sin. And because we're born in sin, we sin. This person is in quite a predicament, huh? Adultery, murder, lying, stealing, coveting. And we're just going to take all this and we're going to push it all together in one big mess, okay? Just like that. There you go. Now, can you drop one of your ropes for me? Excuse me. Thank you. And could you drop one of yours also? All right. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to tie this into one big mess. We're going to make sure that this sin does not go anywhere. And I'm catching some of the silks already in my knot. Got a square knot here. There we go. Get it nice and tight. Make sure it doesn't go anywhere. Just like that. All right. Now, very good. You two can go ahead and have a seat. Thank you so much. You know, the Word of God shares with us that, yes, we're all born in sin. And because of our sin, we have no hope, right? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We're all born in sin. You know, we're all sinners. Maybe not all of us are as bad as this person is. Adultery, murder, stealing. Oh, he's quite coveting. He's in quite a predicament, isn't he? But if he is a sinner, we're to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I know that you died for me. I know that you shed your blood for my sin. And if this sinner were to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior and say, Lord, I want your death on the cross to count for me, an atonement for my sin, trusting in Christ and Christ alone, the Word of God says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And you know what God will do? He will forgive us of our sin and remember it no more. What have you done with Jesus? Have you ever asked him to forgive you of your sin? Hannah prayed to the Lord. And guess what? God answered her prayer. God answered her prayer. Just as God will answer your prayer if you trust in him and you believe his word to be true, read his word, study his word with a desire to seek God's direction in your life. And just as God worked in Hannah's life, he can work in your life as well. To repent of our sin, trusting in him as our Savior, that we might have eternal life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the story of Hannah, found in 1 Samuel chapter 1, how you worked in her life. Oh, she was tormented, she was made fun of, and in those days, it was very sad not to have children and not to represent their love. It's so hard not to have children. But Hannah, she prayed, asked for your direction in her life, and you answered her prayer, just as you'll answer our prayer as well. Father, I pray if there's one here that's not saved, one here who's never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that today that they'll seek your direction, that they'll trust your Son as their Savior, asking him to forgive them of their sin today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you would say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I'd like to know for sure today that I am born again and that I'm bound for heaven." Anyone? With every head bowed, every eye closed, just slip up your hand and do so. You're saying, "Preacher, I don't know if I'm saved, but I want to know for sure. Will you introduce me to someone as we leave today that can show me in the Word of God how that I can be born again, how I can have my sins forgiven and bound for heaven?" Anyone? Oh, Father, I thank you for your Word today. I pray that you'll work in hearts in ways that I can't. I cannot save a soul, but you can. And I pray if you are working in someone's heart today, that they will talk to us, that they'll ask us, that how can I know for sure that I'm saved? It's the most important decision that anyone can make. Lord, we know that you're returning soon. And your Word is so clear that if we choose to reject the Savior just by doing nothing, we're rejecting him. And Father, I pray that today they'll realize that the gospel is for them, the good news of eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray.